If I were there, I'd find the major and I'd bow before the Savior. Beautiful. We could go home right now. Probably will be the best part of the morning. Beautiful. Sergio alluded to something that I'll just finish up, that this particular outline that I'm going to be going from this morning was intended to be preached December 25th, 2005. That was a Sunday, also a Christmas on Sunday, just the same as this is. Maybe not providential, but maybe it is. Most of us, or a lot of us, know who Shelley Rohr-L is. She had something on the Facebook that gripped me a little bit yesterday. It said, maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. I kind of like that one, as it means a whole lot more. And it doesn't come from a store. But isn't it amazing how we make it the store? Isn't it amazing how we just got to do it the way everybody else is doing it? Because that's Christmas. No, Christ is Christmas. And Christmas is Christ. And that should encompass all of us. We seem to get sucked into the mold of the world and travel the same paths they are traveling. Bless our church in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to first look at Jesus' humble birth, and then we want to look at his heavenly announcement. You ever heard of birth earth announcements? Our Lord Jesus. Announcement. You ever heard of birth earth announcements? Our Lord Jesus had the greatest birth announcement that's ever been made. And yet it was at such a humble birth. So the humble birth of Jesus at Bethlehem, let's get to that. Let's start reading from Luke, folks, if you want to read in your Bible. And it came to pass in those days that the decree said was sent out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there were no room for them in the inn. Sounds like a humble birth, doesn't it? manger, barn. But I want you to see something that overwraps all of this. You've seen it already, but let me remind you of it. And that is the providential aspect of this whole thing. Prophecy said that he was to be born in Bethlehem. But Mary and Joseph was in Nazareth. They weren't in Bethlehem. Not only the place, but the timing is outstanding. Here she is, 8 and a half, nearly 9 months to be delivered. And they head for Bethlehem. I assume they couldn't go there months earlier, when it would be much easier on Mary, because they probably didn't have money to take care of the things. So they had to kind of sneak in and sneak out financially. But there was a decree from a pagan king that sent them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There was a decree. So observe God's providential acts in bringing it to pass. Don't look over that. God is right in the middle of all this. So here she leaves at 8 and a half to 9 months. They leave for Bethlehem. They're in Nazareth. It has to be Bethlehem. That's what the prophet Micah said. But to you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Surely they could make one exception. After all, she's 8 and a half plus. Surely there's some way God could say, let's just ignore that verse. Or maybe he could have a prophet to say another verse that would explain that verse differently. But God is sovereignly involved in bringing to pass what he has decreed before the world was ever made. Exact timing. Sovereign involvement. The king who made the decree and sent it out all over the land knew nothing about Micah chapter 5. He was utterly ignorant that he was in the hands of God, being moved as God wished. There was a deadline set on the enrollment, no doubt. They couldn't wait. They couldn't afford to wait earlier. And they couldn't wait later. They had to be there on the deadline. He had a lot of power. And he needed to get some things done, such as the numbers made of the people for his military service and for his taxation program. And that was more important to him than some maid in Nazareth that was going to have a baby. No, he was just another king who God had in his hands to bring about his wishes. Proverbs 21:1 says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he will. Don't forget that. In anything, today too. talk so awful about our president or people in high places. Hold it. He's in God, they're in God's hand. He'll turn him however he wants him. Just let it alone. So prophecy is being fulfilled, for he is to be born in Bethlehem. Everything seemed to be normal about it all. It was just another person going to register. Now let's see. The angels appeared to Mary and told her that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit. And the one she conceived is to be named Jesus. And then Mary left and went to visit with Elizabeth. Remember that? And she was 3 months with Elizabeth. So she's starting to show when she gets back to Joseph. And Joseph was willing, not willing to put her away, but not willing to be her husband either. And so an angel appeared, probably the same one, to Joseph, right? And told Joseph, take Mary, your wife, for that which she has is conceived of by the Holy Spirit. Oh. And Joseph, knowing he was going to be ridiculed and his wife was going to be ridiculed, took Mary. And as the time got closer, they began to pack things on the donkey. The journey, you had to go from Nazareth. Now, what would be the shortest route from Nazareth? Well, if you went straight from Nazareth, pretty straight, over the hills, probably be the shortest route. That would take you through Samaria, though. And the Jews wouldn't even set foot on Samaritan territory. So it's not too likely they went that way. So likely they went way around the east side, along the River Jordan, all the way to Jericho. And then Jericho, they took the wilderness journey in from Jericho to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, they went to Bethany. Bethlehem. I don't mean Bethany. Now, why did the Jews hate the Samaritans? Well, when Assyria defeated Israel, the northern kingdom, they left a lot of their people there to make sure there was no more uprising. And their people married with the Jewish people of the area. And that was not allowed in the Word of God. And so they didn't want nothing to do with them. But if they did go the center route, they would soon have came to Gilgal. I shouldn't say southern route, along the Jordan, along the Dead Sea, to the Dead Sea. If they did that, they would soon come to Gilgal. Well, Gilgal is where Samuel set his judge of all Israel. They would have left Gilgal and probably went through Shiloh. Now, Shiloh is where Hannah prayed to God for a baby, and God gave her baby Samuel, the father of David. Perhaps they would move on to Bethel. Bethel is where Jacob laid his head on a rock and dreamed angels ascending and descending on a ladder. Interesting. Then on to Ramah and to Gibeon and the Mitzvah, and at last, Jerusalem, before they went to Bethlehem, Jerusalem. I'm sure Joseph says, we can't leave until I show you the place where Abraham was offered up Isaac, Mount Moriah, where the Temple Mount is now. Then it's another 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is a home of Ruth and Boaz, the town where David shepherded his father Jesse's sheep. We don't know how many days that takes. When I tell it like that, it sounds like it took all week, didn't it? We don't know how many days. For some reason, I think we think it took a good big day, and in the evening he got there late at night and couldn't find a place for him. But I think it's days. I think they had slept along the way. Probably had some provisions in the donkey. It was a 90-mile trip, any way you spell it. 90 miles, 9 months pregnant, big, tall hills. You look at that place on a map and you see those hills. They're really hills, up and down. Some places are more than others. But in the case of Mary, that was quite a feat. That was quite a feat. Let's think about their journey in another way. I'm sure Joseph and Mary had talked often about what the angels had said to each of them. But I bet they talked more and more even on the trip. May have even tried to share with someone. Though we know Mary pondered these things in her heart. We know that. The angels told Joseph, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Joseph says, you know what we're naming him? Yes, I know, Mary would say. The angel told me to name him Jesus too. The angel told Joseph he would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God coming to be with man. Every time, if they were thinking people, that they said his name, it struck the note that God had left glory and it came down to be with man. God with us. Then the angel told Mary that she was highly favored. That's the word for grace. She'd received a whole bunch of grace. Yes, she had. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. I think she thought that no matter how bad it gets out here in this lonely road, the Lord is with us. By the way, I don't think the road was really very lonely. That taxation registration situation would have filled those little roads up. Remember, they weren't wide roads. They were narrow paths just for the donkeys and the people. But I think they met a lot of people along the way. They stopped and rest a while and sat and talked with some people. I think they had a lot of time that they would talk. Mary says to Joseph, yes, his name is to be Jesus. And he will be great. He said that? Yes, he said that. He would be the Son of the Highest. Oh, my. He will sit on his father David's throne. And the Jewish people looked forward to that, because that had been a covenant made with God's people. He will be called the Son of God. And then probably one of the most important things to take away doubt He says, with God, says to Mary, with God, nothing's impossible. Don't lose hope. I added that. Don't lose hope. Nothing's impossible with God. Well, talk if they did, walk and they rode. I'm sure that she rode the donkey some and walked some. They never eventually got to their destination, Bethlehem. But they arrived with no place to stay. They couldn't phone in reservations. They had no phones. They couldn't fly to get their journey. There was no airplanes. All they had was a donkey and legs, feet, walk. And there was crowded in. The place was packed. The inn is a public shelter. We've seen an inn one time, went out on one trip there. They still had an old inn. It had four sides, square. Each side was a front. And in the middle was empty hollow, and there's where the animals were. Four sides in the middle of the animals. It was two stories high. And a lot of the hay and things for the animals were stored in the second store. Can't say that word. Story. There you got it. Since there was no place to stay, they were allowed to make a bed in the hay or something in a manger. I've never tried to sleep in a manger, but I hope I never have to. But I bet you they made baby Jesus very comfortable, don't you think? I think he was made very comfortable. But they delivered him without any help from the family. There was no doctor. There was no nurse. There was no midwife. There was just Joseph and Mary. And perhaps somebody slipped in and saw what was going on. We don't know. No mention is made. But Joseph was there. And everything we read in the Bible about Joseph, he's a hero. He's a wonderful man. We make a lot of Mary, and we ought to. She was a wonderful woman. But so was Joseph. Read about this submissive, godly man. Great man. We men should want to be like Joseph. Though there was nobody there but Joseph for the delivery of that baby, but God was there. I will be with you, he told Mary. No tools that a doctor might use. So the baby was born. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. The custom was that they had these long strips of cloth. And they would wrap the baby up like that. Around the body, the whole baby, like a mummy. You were done. And that's the way they took care of their babies. And Jesus was no exception to that. She evidently had brought swaddling cloth with her. It provided warmth, security. For 9 months, that baby had been inside of Mary's womb. And that's a tight fit in there. And all of a sudden, you're let out. And then their baby's wrapped up, it probably feels safe. I don't know. I'm conjecturing some, I don't know.
Mary treated Jesus as all mothers treat their babies. Maybe she was an exception, but as all mothers. There was no royal robes for the king. No fancy garments of any kind. Just swaddling clothes. Just swaddling clothes. And so Joseph gave Mary the baby to hold it while he went and made a special bed in a feeding trough. Now I know all about feeding troughs because I used to be a dairyman. And cows are fed out of a feeding trough. They stick their head through the manger. You've seen pictures of them. Stick their head through the manger, manger, and eat in a trough. I had a pet cow one time that got out at night, went through the fence and landed up in the trough, and turned and tangled to try to get out all night long. And got stuff. It was all a bloody mess. They were made out of concrete. You don't want to mess with that. In that feeding trough was baby Jesus. I suppose the cows would come over and smell it, smell the baby. Maybe even other animals, like lambs, would be there. Jesus came into a smelly world. He came into a smelly world. He gave his best by being poor with the rest. I was going to say something about Calvary here, but perhaps I will just say Calvary was kind of smelly too. It wasn't an exalted place by any means. So his coming into the world was poor and difficult, and his going out was too. Well, that's the humble birth at Bethlehem. Let's look a little bit about the heavenly announcement. This is a little more exciting to me. I love this part. I loved it all, but particularly. Now, thus far, Joseph and Mary knew the grandeur of Jesus' birth, but only they knew. Nobody in that inn knew. Nobody on the roads probably knew. It's still their big secret. All Rome looked for a savior of the world and called Caesar Augustus the savior of the world. All Israel looked for a savior of the world, a deliverer from Roman oppression, coming on a white horse and defeating the enemy. Not a baby in a feed trough. And all Bethlehem this night was caught up in the registration that they had to do. Perhaps they were saying, is this the right form? Where do they want us to line up? Perhaps it was buzz, 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 but nobody was looking for a manger and a baby. But God was. Heaven shouted. Heaven broke loose and appeared to an unlikely group of people called shepherds. Let's read again. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid,
For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What an announcement. What an announcement of a birth. You gonna have anybody here planning to have a baby very soon? I tell you, you'll never get a greater announcement than this one. This is beautiful. So we have a messenger angel, probably the same one that appeared to Mary and Joseph earlier. Maybe the same messenger angel. And his job, sent from God, is to make a big deal of a big deal. And I suggest to you that's our job, to make a big deal of this big deal. A Savior is born tonight. The Messiah has arrived. Your Lord and Master is in a manger in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. But it wasn't just done with the announcement and amazing angels. There was something else extremely unusual there. It says in verse 9, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord." Did you get that? Now, you Bible students, when's the last time you remember the glory of the Lord? Before the birth of Christ, when's the last time the Bible talked about the glory of the Lord? He appeared to Moses in a hinder part. You remember just a little bit? The glory did. It filled the tabernacle when they were traveling through the wilderness journeys. It filled the temple for a while until sin got too great and finally left. Due to Israel's sins, of course. And now it's returned this night to announce this heavenly announcement. The birth of Jesus. And interesting, we talk about something so great as God's Shekinah glory. So wonderful is that. And who did it appear to, did you say? Lowly shepherds? Not kings? Not the priests? Not even the prophets? Lowly shepherds. You're going to see this glory again before Jesus goes back to heaven. He's going to see the transfiguration of Christ. He's going to have the glory of the Lord in it. When the glory of the Lord shone that night, it was like day. It lit everything up at that spot. It had to be extremely beautiful and extremely wonderful. And get the attention of all who was in the area. Now, obviously, just so you don't get mixed up, obviously it had to be some of the glory of God. Because if it was all of the glory of God, they'd have all died. No one can see the glory of God and live. But it was some of the glory. And just some of the glory of God on announcing about that baby tells you how utterly important the birth of that baby was.
utterly important. Well, there's another thing that happens in this wonderful story that I just want to take a piece of. I'm going to let you out on time. God has chosen to announce the birth of his son by a special star. That's part of the birth announcement. Now, the birth announcement to Israel was in Bethlehem, but the birth announcement to the world was to three wise men who lived a long ways away. This star was extra bright. It makes me wonder if it didn't have some of the glory of God involved. It says in the Bible, when you read the passage, just a little while ago we read it, that the star was visible in day as well as night. That's a significant thing to think about, what kind of a star. It was a heavenly star. Numbers 24:17 says very clearly, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. That's when they saw the star, the wise men begin to search all scriptures, and they found that verse and got together and headed toward Judah, because it says a star would come out of Judah. And Bethlehem and Jerusalem are in the area called Judah. And here's what they say. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who's born king of the Jews? Approximately 2 years after the birth of our Lord, the wise men appeared at the doorstep of Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. And a young child named Jesus. And they, like the shepherds, went on their knees and worshiped the Lord. The young boy, probably 2 years old, or near 2 years old. And they gave him gifts. You see, these gifts were given at Christmas, and so they're really nice, but we should be giving them to Jesus. Now, I don't know how you do that, but maybe you can figure it out. Shepherding is not a shameful work. If they were ever honored, they were honored by those angels. That would have lifted them out of any scum of the world and made them very significant people. Moses shepherded. Abraham shepherded. David shepherded. All shepherds. It's a lowly work. It's poor pay. They didn't always have the best reputation because they weren't paid very well. They did some stealing. I don't think these shepherds would have stolen again once they saw what happened to them, if they ever had. But the shepherds, of course, were awestricken. It was an awesome thing to have that happen right there in their grazing field. And they feared God. greatly. I don't know if you ever had it, something happen in your life so great that you lost all vigor. You just begin to tremble. It's been a long time since I've had that. But I think they had that. I think it just took the energy out of them.
Such a stunning experience. And they feared God, but the angel said, "Don't fear. No need to fear. Do not be afraid."
And so they went and saw the baby in Bethlehem's manger.
And they obeyed what the angel had told them. After they saw him, they went everywhere telling everybody what they saw. And it didn't make people mad. We see no hint that that was attacked by the Roman world. It seems to me like God just opened up a door, a path for those shepherds. And what they had to say was so amazing, people wanted to hear it. That same thing we can say. And we have people want to hear it.
Go now and tell others. Go now and tell others. And make sure that Christ is Christmas, and Christmas is Christ. Father God, we thank you so much for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing greater, I believe, is his death. He was indeed the Savior. That's why he died. And Father, we recognize every one of us are sinners. Every one of us deserve anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and his amazing grace and his great payment for our sin. And we thank you, Father, for that. We ask that if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, someone will share with them this Christmas day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.